Ja, so baie welkom allemaal sommer van my kant af ook en we decided earlier this morning we are going in English this morning, Sissel, and good for you but not for me. So I thought I would start to ask for forgiveness if someone tried to get hold of me and he couldn't find me. I went fishing and God exchanged my phone for a fish. I ended up with a beautiful Pharrell but without my phone for 2 weeks. But in my phone was my ID, my driver's license, and my bank card. So for 2 weeks, I couldn't buy anything, drive legally, go anywhere, contact anyone. It was a good thing. I'd rather take the phone away than I was hoping for a coin in the mouth of the fish. But anyway, no. So yeah, so we had a good time, take a bit of a rest. But just being here this morning, it's just so good to be together. It's so good to be together. It's really good for me, and love to be here again this morning. And maybe just something of the last 5 weeks. I wondered who of us had the chance to listen to the 5 sermons over the last 5 weeks. And for me, it was just coming back and catching up from Rian's sermon on humility, and I think then it was Daniel's sermon on God's will, and Brett's sermon last week on the kingdom. And sure, just for me, beautiful to see how God has been speaking. I don't know to who, but to me, as for sure. And how all of those are connected to one another. And so I wrote one sentence, and I just want to leave that with us before we jump into Ephesians 2. I think for those who were here, I spoke about God's will when we pray or we sing, "Let God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And what is that will? So I started off with that, and just after that, in short, I would say Rian's sermon was just, and there was a conviction in his heart, and I could hear it in the way he spoke and he prayed about it, about the pride that is in our life and in my life and in his life, and that God is calling us to humility. And after that, Daniel just took us through a quick overview of God's will and how God's will worked through the different seasons and ages in the Word, and connecting that to what is God's will on earth at the moment. And it came down to that God wants His people, He wants you and me to be with God and to make Him known. And that's God's will for the season that we are in. Back to the sermon that I started off with, I read from Genesis 3 and from Romans 8, and the futility of this earth and how it's working at the moment, and that God brought this futility that our eyes may open what happens when we rebel against God. And what is the fruit of rebellion against God? And what we see in this earth and what we are frustrated with and hurt with and angry about and upset about, it's all the result of sin. That is what we see. So if you look at anything in this world that upsets you, it's the fruit of sin. That is it. And and Brett beautifully talked about God and His kingdom and how He Himself, and I can relate so much about it, that where God is king and where He also rules, but what He does and what most of us do is from time to time in our own lives, we create pockets where we rule. And that's why the light burden that God promised becomes a heavy burden. Because me and you are ruling and not God. And when we are invited to His kingdom and to follow with Him, it is so that He can rule. And that we can operate under His rule and not under our own rule. And something I just want to connect to that and then go from that this morning is me and Albie had the privilege to be in Malawi on the 20th to the 26th of January. And was it in January? No, June, sorry. Så lægge mig med engelsk og slå op. The holiday was too long. But yeah, and it just something simple that he left with me and the Malawian guys. There was about 35 of them leaders of churches and guys they are training, and we were all together for a week. So blessed by them and their commitment and their joy, their faithfulness, just completely overwhelmed. And Albie talked to them about love, and he says, what is love? In the simplest way we can explain love, what is love? And if I remember correctly, Albie said, to do something for someone else at the cost of yourself. It's love. And after listening to all the sermons over the past 3-4 weeks, remembering what Albie said, I wrote down that pride causes me to rule because of the cost that is involved. And when I do that, I am not with God and I cannot make him known. And if we would just take a moment and think about that, because for me that's the summary of what God has been saying over a few weeks now to us, is that pride causes me to rule in situations. The moment I do that, and most of the times I choose to rule because there's a cost involved not to rule. It's either just serving Marinda or not serving her. But not serving her, I'm ruling. And it's not God's rule there. And the moment I do that, the burden becomes heavy because I'm not with God and I cannot make him known. And it's for me as simple, it's, yeah, so maybe we should say amen and go home. If God would just reveal that to our hearts and leave that with us and say, Lord, help me. But maybe it's good if we just continue a bit. And maybe I want to just share from Ephesians 2 and a testimony that happened with us in the way God worked in Malawi, and maybe something of my own personal journey. I was during worship, I was remembering a scripture, and John wrote it. He said in John 3:30, he must become greater and I must become less. And so hopefully that is all of our all of us, it's our desire. I hope that you have that desire too, that Jesus may become more and you may become less. And I think when I'm reminded of that scripture, I'm thinking of the frustration and the struggles of my own life over the past few months. And I shared with John and James when we prayed together this morning at the back there. I said, if I'm really struggling with myself at the moment, because in a way it seems to me that I'm becoming less Christ-like. I think what is going on? Am I using, I don't know where the term comes from, am I backsliding? Or what's happening to me? That I feel I'm less Christ-like than I was 5 years ago. What is happening to me? And I'm just sharing this because maybe you can relate to it. And maybe God can speak to all of us about this. And I had a coffee with Brett on Friday. And just from his sermon, we had a conversation. And I think this morning God answered me. He says, all that God is doing with me at the moment, and maybe he does it to you as well, because it's for me, it's upsetting my life to see that it seems to me I'm less Christ-like than I was 5 years ago. I'm supposed to be more Christ-like. How is it possible that I'm going backwards? And I shared a sermon 4 or 5 weeks ago where I spoke about Paul, and I don't know who was here when we spoke about Paul and the life of Paul. We were a few here. I remember there was the primary kids was here, and we said the challenge is this morning that they would remember what we say to one another when we leave. And the challenge is not theirs, the challenge is ours, to present it in a way and to talk in a way that the primary kids would know what are we talking about. So I read a few scriptures about Paul and the amazing stuff that he did in the kingdom. And then on the other hand, by Paul's own confession, I read what he says about himself. I'm the worst of all sinners. I'm not there yet. What else? I'm the least of the apostles. I've got a thorn in my flesh, and I cannot overcome it. And I pleaded with God, but he left me like it. And he says, it's good for you, for your pride. Leave you like that. And Paul is confessing all the way. And I'm asking, when we were together, I'm asking, so who is Paul? Is this Paul or is this Paul? Which one is Paul? And we ended by saying, this is Paul on his own. And this is Paul when he is with God and allowing God's Spirit to rule in his life. And this morning when I worshipped, I felt God showing me how broken I really am. And without him, I'm really nothing. And that's what's happening with me, is God is opening my eyes and my heart to see me for who I am. And his desire is not to crush me. His desire is for all of us that we may lean more and more on him. And that we will walk continually. Whose desire is it to walk continually through the day with Jesus? It's our desire. How will we do it if we are sufficient without him? And he's just showing me that 5 years ago, he allowed me to be, in a way, blind to who I really am so that I can continue. And he's starting to opening it up to me, showing me who I really am because he wants me close. I'm not close where he wants me. And so if you can relate to something of that you walk through life and you, John, may I share? John, when we were there in the back this morning, he said he walked into the shop and one of the guys working there, he comes there often. He says, here comes the angry man. And John thought, oh, how can this be the testimony of who he is? Because he wants to present the king. So maybe if it's not for you, it's for me and John. God is showing to us who we really are without him, so that we may come closer and walk continually with him and not without him. Because without him, there's never a perfect me. It will not come in this life. There's never a mature me. There will be a mature me in Christ, but not without him. Without him, I will be broken, even if I'm 70 or privileged to be 80. 70 is always also privileged. But so I am just confronted with my own pride in situations where I want to rule and not allow God to rule. And the moment I do that, I'm carrying a heavy burden. And as I carry this heavy burden, there's no way that I am with Christ and I can present him. He's not just not presentable. And Daniel said such a beautiful thing. God created us in his image. And that means that when someone look at, so back to an image is something to do with idolatry. It's the same word. The image that we are created in an idolatry in the Bible is the same word. And what does idolatry mean? That they pray to the statue, but they're not really praying to the statue. They pray to the statue that presents Zeus or whatever god they are praying to. So the idol presents the god they are praying to. So if God has created me in an image, then he wants someone to see in me and in his church his image. That's why I'm created in his image, so that I may present him. And that's why me and John at this moment are so frustrated, because we do not present his image many times. And I think I was reminded when we prayed this morning, I was reminded of a friend of me. I would phone him. I said, I need your help. I don't need you to come and have a braai with me. I really need your help. And it would make our conversation would mostly end like this. It would say to me, you've got only two choices. I would share with him my struggles, my frustration or my pain or whatever. He says, you've got two choices. One, you can give up or you can come to Jesus. And that is where me and John is, and maybe some of us is. Is you can give up or you can come to the Lord. It's only with him that you will be able, and we know these things. The question is whether it's real day by day, whether it's real when we miss it with our wives, our children, at the work, at the shop where we come. Is it real there? Are we with him or without him? And when we're without him, his image will not be visible with us. So I want to read with us. I'm just searching for the English translation here, from Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10. Just to, maybe to close a little bit on the few sermons that were shared over time now, is John 3, verse 30 says that God should become more in my life and I should become less. And what I'm actually experiencing is my own pride of becoming less. In my own eyes, I am less at the moment than what I was 5 years ago. I just didn't see my brokenness 5 years ago the way I'm seeing it at the moment. So it's a good thing encountering your own brokenness, because God wants you to come closer to him and to lean less on yourself and to be more like him by leaning on him and being with him. So Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 10. Now the ESV wants to download here. Okay, I'm reading from verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in. The passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So Paul begins to describe who we were without Christ, or who we are without Christ. So just to repeat it, it says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. It's the first thing that he describes. The second that he describes is that we are under the control of the prince of the power of the air. And thirdly, he says, so we just do whatever this power leads us to, and our flesh works in that and everything. And then he says, in the end of verse 3, the consequence of this was we were under the wrath of God. So as miskien Afrikaans moet vertaal net vinnig, daar's drie goed wat Paulus sê. Wat is die toestand van ons sonder Jesus? Ons is dood in ons oortredinge. We are dead. We are under the control of Satan. And we are destined for wrath. As ek het weer in Engels. Ons is dood. Huh? Ons is bestem. Bestem vir oordeel. So ons is dood in ons self. We are dead. Ons is, voor dit, ons is onder die beheer van Satan, en ons is bestem vir straf. This is it. Dit is die basics van die gospel. En vers 4 begin in Engels met die mooi woorde, but God. Die Afrikaans sê, maar God. And maybe this morning, if you want to think of a title for the sermon, it's but God. It's not us, it's not me, it's not you, but God. Rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. He could have left us there. He could have judged us. But then in verse 4 it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he loved us. And I don't know if I start to see myself for who I am, I'm struggling to think that God still loves me the way he did before I saw this. But this scripture gives me hope, because it says he loved me even when I was still in my trespasses. Even before I came to him, he loved me. That's why he took me out of it. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. And this, now he changes us. So verse 4 is the pivot where Jesus comes and he changes everything. He says, you were dead, but he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So wrath he exchanged for a heavenly seat. Hell he exchanged for heaven. That's what he did. Second thing that I see here. And then so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in the kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So he made us alive together with Christ. So where we were bound to Satan, we are now bound to Christ. So three things that we had and three things that he saved us from is deadness. He made us alive. Secondly, we are bound to Satan. We are freed from Satan and bound to Christ. We are destined for wrath, destined for judgment. And now we have a heavenly seat. This is what Jesus came to do. And I want to continue. So for me, I don't know if you remember the sermon. There was a sermon that I talked about Paul, and I said, what God is telling me is we will never understand our true identity in Christ if we don't understand our identity without Christ. So what the scripture does is it tells you what is your identity without Christ. Because only if we know that we are dead, we are bound by Satan and destined for hell. There's good news when it says, but Jesus. And maybe I want to share the testimony from Malawi, because it was so, because God was talking to me now for the last few months about this. And I remember Lisa was asking me, Christoph, so we've got to ask God to help us how to share the good news of Jesus with people that doesn't believe. And the one evening, one of the guys came with his motorbike, and he had a flat tire, and he asked me, can you guys help us with a flat tire? And Willem Boota has everything in his car. We put a plug and connect a compressor, and whoop, the tire was good for Noel to go again. Next morning came, started the session, came to us, he says, the tire's flat again. And I said, well, let's take it off and see if someone else can help us. Let's go to a tire repair place, you know. So the pastor in whose town has explained to us where to go. So we've got a tire in the back of the car, me and Willem and Noel, we left. Can't remember if someone else went along. Afterwards, we realized we've missed the place we were supposed to go. So we ended up at the wrong place with a flat tire that was wasting our time. And gave it to a guy, and now Noel was helping this guy to fix the tire, young chap. And as me and Willem now standing, chatting, and then a young lady asked us a question in English. And we started talking with her. And it wasn't long, and we felt the Spirit led us to talk to her about the good news of Jesus. And because of what God was dealing with me, I thought, well, if God doesn't open her eyes to her lostness, Jesus is no good news. Jesus is only good news in the context of deadness, control of Satan, and hell. That's why Jesus is good news. So I watched a few videos of this guy evangelizing on streets, on the street, and he would just start by asking someone, what do they think about the afterlife, you know? And some would say, no, I don't believe in it, and this is all that there is. And others say, no, they believe in it, and they've got all sorts of concoctions of what it is about. And he would then ask them, so do you think, and everyone has a bad place and a good place if they do believe in a afterlife? And most people's answers are two things. They think they are good people, and they think they will go to the good place. 99% of people that you encounter would say that. And then he would say, so I started this conversation with this lady, and she was now, English wasn't too good, mine neither, so we understood one another. But I asked her then, so do you, so she said, no, she believes in afterlife. And I said to her, so, but do you think you're a good person? She said, of course, yes, I am. And I said, can I ask you maybe a few questions, you know, to dig into it? She says, yes, you're welcome. And I said to her, so have you ever told a lie, you know? She's laughing, you know, yeah, of course. And okay, I said, have you ever stolen something, even if it's small? I said, yes, I've stolen something. I asked her if she's ever cussed, maybe in God's name, and she said, yes. I asked her, so maybe have you ever had sex without outside of marriage or lust after someone? She said, yes, I've got a baby, I'm not married. I said to her, so by your own confession, you're a lying thief, adulteress, fornicator, and a blasphemer. Is that good? Do you still think you're a good person? And in that moment, sure, I could see the Holy Spirit changing it from choking to conviction. And says, now, I said to her, so what do you think will happen when you one day has to be sent, good or bad? She says, no, I will be judged by my own confessed actions. I said to her, but there's good news. I said, there's someone willing to pay for your conviction and for the straf? Penalty for your love, your punishment. And then I started sharing Jesus' good news. And before I even got to the end, she said, can I please confess my sin? Can I repent of my sin? And it was such a beautiful moment. I called Noel because our English was working up to then. I thought maybe she should repent in her own language. Maybe I shouldn't. But Noel came and she started repenting of all her sins. And me and Willem could see how God changed her in a moment. And by that time, the tie was finished, and we were greeting and paying and wanted to leave. And the young chap helping Noel, I could see as we were busy with the conversation, he was now just sitting where the chair is here, and he was looking around and trying to follow what's happening at the back here. And he stood up, came to us, and says, can I see you over lunch tomorrow? Because I'm at work, and my boss won't allow me to have chit-chats at the moment. I said, yes, yeah, for sure, we're coming back. Because I said to the lady, we're coming back tomorrow over lunch. I want to introduce you to the local pastor so that you have community. It doesn't help us leave you just like that. And this young chap says, yes, please. He wants to chat to us. He heard that we were speaking about Jesus. And next day, we were back. I sent Tembu, the local pastor, along. He met with the lady. And it comes out this young man is a Muslim boy, and he was contemplating suicide for the last month, buying a rope, thinking of hanging himself. And Noel himself, the pastor that we took with the motorbike himself, was a Muslim, an ex-Muslim. And he just knew how to talk to this young man, and he came to Christ there, and that next time they both of them attended the church there, and the lady's boyfriend came along. And why am I telling it? It's just that Jesus is good news in the context of our lostness. And my question is, do we love people enough to tell them that they are lost? It's only God and these people who will do that for people. No one else will do that for people. They will praise them and tell them, no, they're good people. No one will have the courage to trust God to help people to see that they are lost and without God. And I think if we don't see our own lostness and our own brokenness, there's no way we would be able to help others see that. It's only when you see your own brokenness and your own lostness and be grateful for what God has done. He's moved you from deadness to alive, connected to Satan, connected to Christ, judgment in hell, a heavenly place. That's the gospel. And how do we trust God to live and to present that to people? Understand our own, because if this comes to me, and it comes to be by my spiritual eyes and heart is open, there must be joy in my life. There must be thankfulness in my life. Being thankful for what God has done for us, done for you and done for me. But I'm hopefully not going to repeat it again. God's goodness and Jesus' beauty, His mercy, His grace, but God, only makes sense when we understand the lostness of mankind. And not only mankind, but me, myself. And I just want to close with the last few verses of Ephesians. Let's just read that and close with that. So in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved. So let's just define grace. What does grace mean? Wat beteken genade? Deserve. Good. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. Dis 'n geskenk. It's a gift. So we received it as a gift. We have to receive the gift, but it's a gift. Let's hear how Paul is writing about this. Paul is writing about this as he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. This is why God wants all pride in my life destroyed. It is not by my own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. What does pride do? It boasts. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So I just want to make the point here that Paul is making is he says, being changed from deadness to alive is nothing that we and you can do. There's nothing that we can do that will take us from the bondage in Satan to the bondage with Christ. That will take us from hell to heaven. We can do nothing. God has done it and is presenting this gift to me and you and to the world out there. And how can we bring this gift to people and trust God that they may receive this gift through faith? I'm not saved by faith. I'm saved by grace. I'm saved by Jesus. I receive it through faith. And then just the last thing is, God says, yeah, He says, He's done all of this. He has made us alive. He has binded us to Christ. He has given us a heavenly place. All through grace, no works, nothing of my own, so that no one may boast. So all of us is equal, equally lost, and equally thankful, because none of us have added anything to our salvation. It is from God and by God alone. But then he says, so we are not saved through works. We are saved for works. And may there be a desire in each one of our hearts to find out what are those good works. And we didn't go there to fix a tire and to speak to people. But I praise God that was such a beautiful experience. And I'm so privileged that He used us in that moment, that He prepared us for that moment, and that we were present to that moment, so that a good work could happen by His grace, and salvation comes to someone. And that is the season and the era. What words did Daniel use? The age that we are in is to walk with God and to make Him known. But it's impossible with pride. It's impossible with our own boasting. It is impossible without the thankfulness that this was a free gift. I couldn't do anything to receive it. And may God just anchor us in that today, and may we ponder and speak as a family about it, pray through it, thanking Him. I was thinking this morning, I hope no one is sitting one, that we would just turn to one another and just pray through this and say, thank you, Lord, that you have done this for me. Thank you that I didn't earn it. Thank you that it was a free gift. What is on your heart from the sermon this morning and from the word this morning? That, and God says, I've done it this way that there may be no pride in your life. You were lost. You were worth nothing. I came to take you out of that slimy mud and blood where you were lost, and I took you out. The glory comes to me, not to you. And God is stripping me from any, and you know, it's, I don't know, maybe you're just more aware of who you are, but for me it's a good thing. It's tough, but it's a good thing to be just stripped of that little self things that is still present, and which I leaned on to do God's work or to present God what it was. It was me, it wasn't God. Therefore the fruit was bad. It will be no good fruit, eternal fruit, when things come from ourselves. And may God just, each one of us is on another journey, and may God help you for where you are. And may this sermon just bring you hope and just center you in your own nothingness, but thanks to the glory of God and the mercy of God, but God. You were dead, but God. You were bound to Satan, but God. You were destined for hell, but God. Not but Christoph or Dwayne, but God. Thank Him for that. Thank Him every day for that. And be okay. Be okay with it that you become less. It's the only way He will become more, if you become less. And we're upset if we become less. But it is because of our boasting, prideful flesh that is still at work. Let's pray together. I'm just going to do a short prayer and then turn to one another. And I just want to invite you, just two or three where you are together, just pray together. Maybe you've got something you want someone to pray for you specifically. And ask him or her to do that. Father, I want to thank you for what you have done for each one of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, thank you that we know, we are aware of it, Lord, that our flesh desires praise and is prideful. But our spirit that you made alive is thirsty for humility, Lord. We are thirsty for humility, Lord. We pray that we will seek you for the good works that you've prepared for us. Thank you that we doesn't do any good work to earn it, to earn anything. That you have earned everything. We thank you for that, Lord. I pray that you will give us courage, wisdom, and love to share with people who are lost the good news, the gift that you have for them. I pray that in Jesus' name. Let us turn to one another and pray together.